ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the 3 Under Par podcast. This is a golf podcast where
little white balls life.
I'm your host, Scotty T, and I'm joined by my co-host, T-Bone. How are you doing, my friend?
What's up? Doing good. Ready for the week.
So you got to play some golf this weekend, huh?
I did. And if anyone else played on Saturday, bloodbath. Basically, three club wins the whole day. And I don't want to get any, I don't want to start any fighting words here, but I kind of think you and KJ might not have been able to hang with me on Saturday.
Whoa! let's not. What? I mean,
I'm firing it out of the gates, baby.
What?
I'm firing out of the gates. Let's go. Feeling good.
Are you talking drinking or are you talking actual golf wise?
Potentially both, but
Golf wise. T-Bone, let's not forget that you wore a dress because you lost to a man with a broken ankle. So,
let's also address that I think I broke 80 and he shot like 3 over par.
Lost.
Regardless, still lost. But no, I know that's fair. But, and even my score wasn't that great. But
what'd you play?
Gus.
Okay.
Gus Wortham. I mean, it was. I almost canceled because it was so windy. When I looked on the Apple weather app, the icon showed wind for Saturday. So that was tough and really had low expectations going into it. And I fired a 77, which, you know, nothing to, you know, not turning pro tomorrow, but with the wind and how I've been playing, I was very content with my round.
I mean, soft flex. You're like, yeah, I broke 80. No big deal in tough conditions. Yeah. I respect it. T-Bone, let's not get ahead of ourselves. Okay. Let's break here. I think you broke 80 for the first time in 6 months. So you're like, man, I'm going straight to my head.
No. Easy. I fired a 73 about a month ago at Herman, but, We've got a few sub 80 rounds here and there, but things are starting to click a bit.
Okay.
But that was as good as it gets. And pretty funny story from the round. For those of you that saw our Instagram post, I was playing with a buddy of mine who is probably a 12 to 15 handicap and has the shit talking game of a scratch golfer. You would think he's a scratch golfer based on how much shit he talks, but he fired an 89. Anyways, we were on hole 13 at Gus, about 80 yards in a fairway bunker. We're right next to each other. And I told him, this is the hardest shot in golf right here. 80 yard bunker shot. And he just kind of goes, whatever. Gets his R7 sand wedge. Flights it up into the wind, lands on the back of the green, spins it back into the hole for eagle. Starts doing the gritty. He's flossing, and we're playing $30 eagles. So he was having the time of his life. Wow. And you know, I'm feeling a little down. I end up hitting pretty good contact, flying the green, and he'd maybe had a few cocktails. We're walking to the next tee, and I'm literally putting my putter in the bag. He's trying to put the cart in reverse and literally just drive straight into my ankle.
The
cart. With the two prongs where you hook up the cart, that went straight into my ankle. And I was like, insult to injury, brother. I mean,
man,
you make an eagle on me, you take my money, and then you have to hit me with a fucking cart. But anyways, fun round. We had a good time. Anytime you can get on it, Gus, you got to take advantage of it. So we had a good time.
All right, man, that's fantastic. I'm super happy for you. It was great weather all weekend. Maybe I'll play golf again one of these days. Hey, let's play Saturday. You want to play Saturday?
Yeah.
All right.
You never asked.
Hey. Yeah. Well, that's good to hear because I think last time we played, you were feeling pretty down on yourself. You know, you're like, I just feel so lost. But, you know, that's golf. Sometimes we have great days. Sometimes we don't. That's why we love the game. And it's that one shot, that one hole out from 80-yard bunker shot. I agree. 100% the hardest shot in golf. That's pretty spectacular. Gotta respect it.
It was solid. It was spun back too.
Cook some
With an
sauce.
R7, with an R7 sandwich, like that comes with the set.
You're gonna have to tell me who this is offline so I can give this person a hard time. Do I
Yeah.
know him?
Yeah, he's Everett Favor. Mr. Favor, he's tagged in our Instagram.
Okay. I don't know if I know him.
Yeah, good guy. He needs to work on his dance moves, but yeah, good guy.
Shout out to you, Everett, man. Appreciate it. So, but yeah, hey, recap too from last week. Last episode, we did an interview with Connor Fairway. It was a pretty awesome interview. So be sure to go check that out as well. It was a good conversation. I really enjoyed talking with Connor on and offline. Really good guy. You know, he's one of those guys, a really good content creator. His content's really engaging, has a pretty big following there on TikTok and branching out more into the YouTube game, into Instagram as well. And so, if in case you missed it, go back and listen to it and go give Connor a follow because he is trying to pursue a professional golf career when he's currently a 17 handicap. So, he said obviously he would love to become a professional golfer. So, he's videoing and tracking his progress throughout the year. But he said ultimately the goal is to make money playing golf. And so obviously his content's really engaging. He is well on that path, in my opinion. So T-Bone, he might be one of those guys here in a year. It's just blown up and we'd be like, hey, we got him early. So he's a friend of the pod now. He said he'll come back on next year, but it's a good lesson if you in case you
Nice.
missed it. Go back and check it out.
Why Yang started playing golf at 19.
I mean, that's gotta be encouraging for everybody, right? And
Makes
that
you think.
son of a
Makes you
bitch.
think.
He stared down Tiger Woods in his prime. That 09 PGA, I'm sorry, who? Y. E. Yang stared Tiger down in the face. Unbelievable. I mean, just the
Impressive.
cojones on that guy.
Yeah.
Never heard from since.
Actually, to pivot a bit, he was in the field this week at the Insperity Invitational, which I was able to go to on Friday. If you guys haven't been, it's an awesome tournament. Woodlands Country Club, TPC course, free admission. And if you're lucky enough to get those suite tickets on 18, it's an awesome event. But I don't know if they still playing it, but I think Jack is really involved in this tournament. Gary Player and Lee Trevino, Annika Sorenstam will show up. They play like a charity event for 9 holes. So awesome tournament. John Daly was there, of course. And then we also had a repeat champion this year. And I'm a good enough fan to where I don't know his name, but good for that dude. But anyways, awesome tournament. If you're in the Houston area or Woodlands, highly recommend the Insperity Invitational.
Let's see who won that. It was, why is this weird? Why is it so hard to find like leaderboards and stuff like this? Have you noticed that?
Me a
Like,
second. He's Australian. It was his first win on tour last year.
I mean, it's a great photo here you got at the top with him fist pumping and okay.
Steve Elker, Steve Elker, Stephen
Steve
Elker.
Elker, there we go.
Yeah, I believe last year was his first win on the PGA Tour, senior PGA or champions, whatever you want to call it. Back to back champion, and yeah, was able to defend. But it's such a cool tournament because you realize how many good golfers are, and you're starting to get that wave of younger golfers on the Champions Tour. So I saw Padraig, Sol Stricker, David Toms, and then you got some of the more seasoned guys. Vijay's still out there in his big old green Hoka running shoes. Apparently helps with his back, but
Get that extra
it's an
padding.
awesome tournament. It's an awesome tournament. A lot of
So
fun.
how about this for a story too? So yeah, Stephen Elker won the Insperity shooting a 66, 6 under 66 in the final round. His first title of the year of this year on the PGA Tour Champions, as you mentioned, back to back. His former caddy, Sam Workman, who was from the Houston area, he unfortunately passed away earlier this year in February. So this was a great win for him in honor of his caddy. So the PGA Tour champions tweeted out there was a bunch of friends and family of Sam Workman, the late caddy, who dressed and Astros gear, whatnot, with the Workman name on the back of it. So to go
Oh, I
support.
think I did know that. His caddy was a big Astros fan.
Yeah, Steve Ackler.
Oh,
So,
man. Good
or Steve.
reporting on our end, but I'm glad we eventually did cover
Yes, we
that.
should have led with that. That was our mistake there. But yeah, I mean, great story. And to your point, too, like even some of the PGA Tour champions, those guys can still play. The reason why they're not on tour is just A, they're a little bit older, and the PGA Tour is, we feel like, is getting younger and younger every year. But also the distances, they just don't hit the ball far enough. But heck, Freddie Couples made the cut at the Masters this year, man. Like, those guys are still so good. And actually, I'd have bet with a couple buddies of mine. We're like, hey, like, if we make our billions of dollars in our professional working career, could we still make it to the PGA Tour champions once we turn 50? I don't know. I don't know that answer. It is, I mean, okay, how about that, T-Bone? If you were to retire at the age of 45 and then give 5 years to get ready for the PGA Tour champions, could
No,
you do it?
hell no. 45? No.
But that gives you 5 years.
No.
How long would you need? Now? Do you need to start practicing now to make the PGA Tour champions in 28 years or
Well,
whatever it is?
yeah, probably. I would need to start playing like amateur tournaments now. I would have to get back and I would have to play year. I would have to practice for, let's say, 5 years, start playing in member guests, eventually get into the amateur game. Then I could go for the PGA Tour champions. I'm not even gonna come remotely close to saying I could do that. I almost feel like I would be better. This fairway dude you interviewed, he would be better off than I would.
Maybe. I don't know. He's a 17, but you're a lot. You're not a 17. You're a lot better than that.
4.8 actually
4.8.
logged today. No, but I just feel like there's kind of like I almost have scar tissue, and this guy's like learning the game for the first time.
That's true.
He's got a fresh palate. But I
You
don't know.
think?
I need to give myself a little more credit. I think a lot. I need to see what the scores were at TPC on Saturday because I bet they were sky high. I'm gonna do that.
You're
Just
telling
make me
me
feel
that
good about
I have to
myself.
give you six shots every time we play, technically? That feels wrong. I'm not giving you six shots.
Are you a plus one?
Technically, yes.
Okay.
But we got to
Sounds
remember, I have posted one round this year.
good. Yeah. Do we know what KJ's handicap is these days? Does he even keep
Honestly,
one?
it's probably he that's he's such a sandbagger, like,
Yeah.
don't care if he listens, because he knows it, because he's like, oh, I need shots. When it's like, hey, yeah, I shot 65 over the weekend. It's like, get out of here. Don't tell me you're two handicap and you're shooting 65. That's BS.
Aaron Rodgers style
Yeah.
from
Oh,
KJ.
man. But I mean, realistically, if I had to guess, he's probably a plus two, somewhere around there. So technically, he should be giving me shots. So I don't want to hear it, KJ. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, can't trust that
Nope. So there's no easy way to transition, but let's talk some PGA Tour golf, since there was some golf being played this weekend. The Mexico Open was this weekend. I don't at Vedanta. Oh, God, I'm so bad at it. I'm not making this up either. Anyway, Tony Finau comes away with the win, firing a total of 24 under par, which is just absolutely insane. Holds off world number one Masters champion Jon Rahm, and he walks away victorious. $1.386 million paycheck. His whole family was there. Tony Finau, dude, sneaky number of wins. That brings his win total up to six. There was a while there where he won, what was it, the Mayakoba, and then there was the Mayakoba curse of like, oh, you win that, you're never winning again on tour. And then so the narrative has been, can he win? And now the narrative, and rather, he has disproven that now. He's won six times. Not many people win more than once on tour, and he's done it six times now, which is pretty incredible. Now the narrative is, can he win majors? But I don't care about that right now, because he won this week. And he's really catapulted his Netflix fame. until he's almost a household name now because he's actually winning on tour, which is pretty incredible.
For sure. So to play devil's advocate here for a bit, Tony's wins are definitely not even not majors. They're not even, I would say, the biggest tour events. But when you go head to head with Jon Rahm, that's a big deal. I think they were tied going into Sunday, and I'm not exact. I think they were tied, and who wouldn't be ready to crown Rahm there? And he fired what, 65 or something on Sunday, and I turned it on the back nine, and I think Rahm made a bogey, Tony made a birdie, and it was three or four shots the whole back nine, and just totally in control. And I think it would be easy for a lot of guys to falter there when you have Rahm head to head. So I didn't realize this wasn't the strongest field, but you got to give him some credit still going head to head with Rahm. So yeah, the most one of the easiest guys to cheer for. The A lot of the social media, golf social media accounts were posting Tony going to caddy at a local par three course for all of his kids after.
Yeah.
It's awesome. That's just the guy he is. So such a likable dude. I think it's hard not to root for him, and big win for Tony. And yeah, majors are next. He's due.
Hey, let's not forget, Tony Finau is the defending champion of the Cadence Bank Houston Open right now. Show the man some love.
Shit, I said not very big tournaments except for the Houston Open.
Yeah, excuse me. So I'm
Yeah.
looking at actually his total wins right now. His first win, I think I said Mayakoba. It was the Puerto Rico Open. It was his first win back in 2016, and then didn't win for 5 years. You know, he won a playoff event. He won the Northern Trust in 2021. That's a pretty big win, the first leg of the PGA Tour playoff. Then after that, he won the 3M Open, the Rocket Mortgage Classic, back-to-back weeks last year. And then he won the Cadence Bank Houston Open and the Mexico Open now. So that brings his total to six. So he has two more better wins than I thought with the Northern Trust and the Houston Open, let's be real. So
Another side note, saw a stat today that Rahm has set the record for PGA Tour earnings in a single year, and it's May. $14.5 million from Jon Rahm, and he has broken the PGA Tour record, and it's May.
really? Jeez. I mean, look,
You fact checking me on this?
no, I'm actually pulling up something else at the moment because that reminds me. Have you seen how much money Taylor Gooch has won this year on LIV in this month alone?
I believe it's 10 million in the last 2 weeks.
Let's see if I can find it real quick. So, well, apparently Adidas dropped him. So he went, yeah, 6.4, about, yeah, I think it was about 10 to 12 million, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
That's
Taylor.
unbelievable money, but
Yeah. Yeah,
geez.
it's kind of funny. I mean, we're just talking about Rahm, and I guess you kind of stole the thunder there. Like, LIV is done with, all-time record of 14 and a half million, and Taylor Gooch is doing it in 10 million in 2 weeks. So again, I still don't really care what it
Yeah.
was. Where were they? They were Australia and somewhere else around there. I don't know if it was
How electric
Europe.
was that? Since we did the interview last week, seeing the hole in one with is it Chase Koepka
Yeah.
had the hole in one? Yeah, pretty, wow,
Yeah, so
pretty.
that tournament was in Australia, and that was their attempt at recreating the waste management. And I think it was a decent
Attempt.
comparison or attempt to try and recreate the waste management. But as we talked about, I don't know what it's gonna take for me to get into it. They have all these guys finish top five, top 10 of the Masters. I don't care. They have this cool hole that I guess Chase Koepka's hole in one was cool, but I don't care. Taylor Gooch is 10 million. I don't care.
Yeah.
PGA Tour guy. It's just, I don't know what it's going to take for us to get us, at least get me into it.
So just from LIV alone in the last 2 weeks or last 8 days, he's won $9.1 million. Taylor Gooch. from his back-to-back wins at LIV. But yeah, to your point, let's get back to the PGA Tour. The maybe in response to LIV, they're throwing a ton of money at these players at the moment. And for if you're Jon Rahm, man, like you're living the good life right now. You're getting paid. You're the Masters champion. And it's a kind of a cliche take, but the boats, all boats rise with the tide. So guys like Scheffler, even though Rory got slapped with that $3 million fine, like even some of the other guys, everybody's just making more money right now. And
Yeah.
it's pretty remarkable to see. And if you really want to throw where, like, hey, where did all this begin? Tiger Woods. I mean, if you're Commissioner Tim Fincham, like, how much of a gift from God himself was Tiger Woods for the PGA Tour? It
Yeah.
like Tiger was the best thing that ever happened on tour and for the game of golf, especially when it comes to people's pockets.
Yeah, and I wouldn't say that LIV is by any means the best thing to happen. It's arguably one of the worst things, but holy shit, is it paying these guys a ton? And I think a lot of these LIV guys would have really considered not. Honestly, Phil Mickelson basically said, I think, who knows why he was saying, but basically, he was like, I'm happy I made the switch to LIV before all these rules came out or all these chain high purses on the PGA Tour. But, got same guys, Brooks, Taylor Gooch. Actual good golfers, they would have thought a lot more about it. And LIV has just made the purses that much better for PGA Tour. So
Yeah.
it's damaging golf. Tiger's elevated golf and the purses. LIV is, I think, debatably ruining golf, but it's getting people paid. So what are you gonna do?
That it is, which is why, as they say, why they made the change over to Liv. And if you're Taylor Gooch, I mean, if you're Taylor Gooch, how long would that have taken you to make that on the PGA Tour? Not in
Yeah.
2 weeks, let's put it that way. Anyway, but yeah, Tony Finau, go back to Tony. Good win. Good field. T-Bone, there are a couple other guys I would like to highlight here that were finished in the top five, Brandon Wu and Akshay Bhatia. Those are another couple of really young guys.
Nice pronunciation there.
Thank you.
That was
It
well
took me
done.
a while to get Akshay's down.
Yeah.
I do have that one. Akshay, former number one amateur in the world, if I'm not mistaken,
Yeah.
skipped college. Did he skip college to turn pro?
Yeah. Yep.
So
No.
I think it's been a longer journey to get to the PGA Tour for him than what most people expected, considering he skipped college, turned pro, but he's worked his way up through the system and really good finish for him. And then Brandon Wu, another one of those Stanford guys, 26 years old. Look, that just proves the point, kind of what we said earlier, the tour is getting younger.
Yep. Yeah, it was kind of odd seeing Rahm and Finau paired with Akshay in the last group. It was kind of like, who is this guy? But no, pretty interesting story. I think the going straight to pro golf is kind of not as common as it used to be. Honestly, not that common at all, unless from American people at least. It may be a little more common on the European tour and things like that. But yeah, he's been a pro golfer for since he, right when he turned 18. He's like 22 now, 21. But looks like he's finally starting to get some good starts, and that's a good finish for him. People also forget that I believe it was his first win on the Korn Ferry Tour. DM'd his girlfriend on Instagram, started dating, and she became his caddy like a week or two into their relationship, and he won the tournament. So pretty funny story there. I also heard today that one of Akshay's first pro tournaments, I don't think he got DQ'd, but he got like an immediate two-shot penalty or something because he brings out the range finder shoot distances, just not thinking at all. So pretty classic. But I like watching him. I think he's got a cool swing. I like his look with the flow, the fresh foot joys on. He's got a good look, powerful swing. I think he's got a lot of potential. So he'll be fun to keep watching on the PGA Tour.
He's only 21. Like, that's a name that we have heard for a long
Yeah.
time now. And he's 21 years old. And
It's
he's been
wild.
pro for coming up on 4 years already as a 21-year-old. That's That guy's
That's
got a
impressive.
lot of golf left, and he's already got a ton of mileage too, but he has a ton of golf left, which
That's
is going to
impressive.
be, to your point, really fun to watch here. And then how about Emiliano Grillo? Want to give some love to Emiliano, class of 2011, represent. He's one of those guys too. So yeah, he's always good for a steady tour card, pop up for a good finish, maybe a win every other year. So, Timon, I think that's all I got really for this week with the Mexico Open. Next week, we have the Wells Fargo. Elevated, is that an elevated event? That's always one of the stops where everybody likes, I believe. Quail Hollow, if I'm not mistaken.
I'm not entirely sure if it's an elevated event. I don't think it is. I don't think Rahm's playing, so I would assume it's not. I think that's why he chose to play in Mexico, but you guys can fact check me on that. But yeah, it's a good event. Hosted a lot of majors. I love the, I think it's a par three 17th is a good finishing hole, and then 18's amazing. So a lot of drama. I'll be watching if I can, but yeah, what I've got a, another, I think I'm, if you don't have anything else for the Quail Hollow, I've got some golf gossip I'd like to transition to.
I think to put a bow on Quail Hollow, it's such a good stop. Here are the last four winners of Quail Hollow: Max Homa, Rory McIlroy, Max Homa, Jason Day.
Nice,
Brings out some
nice.
of the best players. So that's all I got. Let's transition to some golf gossip. T-Bone, take it away.
Yeah, so I got multiple texts, DMs, a lot of stuff about golf gossip this week. Not a lot of stuff, but one topic that has got to be covered. And it's kind of funny when I tell people about this podcast about golf gossip, like you actually have stuff to talk about. I think we could do a golf gossip segment every single week just about Patrick Reed, because the guy is not going away. So for those of you that don't know, back when Patrick won the Masters, he ordered a custom-made Masters edition Porsche 911. It had a few posts on Instagram, on his Instagram back in the day, and early last week it came out that this car has been ripped to shreds and was put for sale, put up for sale in some auction at a junkyard. And I don't think it's officially confirmed that it's his, but because I think the VIN was like ripped off, that's how bad the wreck was. But if you look up pictures of this car, it is airbags, smashed windshield, looks like just it has been absolutely chopped up. Such a cool car, but it's just, I mean, it's always something. I don't think we're ever going to get the true answer. This guy is sketchy, always in the news, always finding a way to be hated. Not that this is really a reason to be hated, but it's just so on brand for something like this to happen to Mr. Patrick Reed, who continues, will always be a frequent flyer on the golf gossip segment.
I mean, tough look for Team Reed. Tough look for Team Reed. It's in shambles. It's a wreckage. It's a literally a car wreck for Team Reed. Yeah, no, to your point, nobody else has that car. It's such a limited edition, and it's the Masters colors. Like, what do you expect? Of course we know it's Reed. Unbelievable. Allegedly. Well.
I don't know. It's just the guy can't catch a break. I,
No.
what do you think? What do you think happened? I mean, just put on your speculation hat here. What do you think could have possibly happened?
Well, do you think him and Justine were having a fight? And
I immediately thought of the Tiger at Tiger's
yeah.
escalator. Was it, was he fleeing the scene? Hit a fire hydrant? I mean, in this case, he hit fucking eight fire hydrants. This thing is torn up. So, batter Justine's can really rip the driver. I mean,
Yeah. I don't know if she can rip it as good as Elon, but. Or Elon. I mean, who knows? Maybe they should have a long drive contest. See who can go further. But yeah, it's either that or like he was staring at old pictures of his green jacket in his closet, just reminiscing about wanting to win it again and how he probably never will. So I don't know.
I mean, honestly, this thing could have gotten stolen and Yeah, we're not going to give him that. We're never
If
going
it
to give
would have
him the
been
benefit of the doubt.
stolen, he would have been front in front of every camera. Like,
True,
my car
true.
was stolen. It wasn't me. And since he's like, I wonder what at underscore golf facts is saying, because we know that's Justine's burner account on Twitter.
Dang, that's good. Someone should buy it and just put the slightest bit of money into it to where it can become a range picker at like a public golf course. How awesome would that be? Got the crates picking up balls. Man, that would be a good one.
And I'm looking at Used Golf Facts, which is the commonly known as the burner account of Patrick Reed or Justine Reed. Been pretty quiet so far.
Yeah, they've got enough stuff going on with the
Yeah.
lawsuits and
No kidding, right?
all that stuff. So this is probably not at the top of his mind, but man, the guy can't catch a break. But what are you gonna do?
T-Bone, I think this transitions us here because we were talking about one of the least likable players on tour to our top five segment, which we are going to do of the top five most likable players on the PGA Tour. So, T-Bone, to preface, are we doing current players or of all time?
Whatever you want.
I think we should do current players. And then if
Okay.
we want to, then we can do of all time. Because I think
Yeah.
guys like Lee Trevino or even Chichi Rodriguez, like those guys are going to be at the
Arnold
top of the
Palmer.
world.
Yeah, Arnold Palmer.
Arnold Palmer, yeah, for sure.
Now, I think that's good. And the top fives, I like for them to be on brand. The theme for the episode, we've got the good guy, Tony. We've got the bad guy, Patrick. Maybe we'll do top five bad guys next week. But yeah, let's do top five current players most likable.
All right. T-Bone, is it your pick or my pick first?
I
I
kind of
don't
think
know. I
it's yours.
think it's mine. Okay. So for my first pick, I'm going to go with Kevin Kisner. I mean, Kevin Kisner, what's not like about the guy, the Say No Effin' Hobby Boys? Like, he has built an iconic brand around that phrase alone with the help of Barstool. Kevin Kisner, just one of the good old boys. I would love to play golf with them someday if I get the chance. Kevin Kisner is my first overall pick.
Yeah, he's awesome. He's a man of the people, super relatable. I love how he just says, I'm not going to win this major or whatever. Just tells it how it is. So,
Keeps it real.
yep, that's a good one. All right. Number one on the comeback tour, I'm going to go with Mr. Ricky Fowler, Big Dick Rick. You can just tell this year he's one of the most likable guys. He's finally starting to make it back. People are dying for him to get to the majors.
Yeah.
Dying for him to win tournaments again. It's great to see him back. The good old days when he was all orange. Maybe that wasn't the most likable for
Flowy
everyone.
hair.
Yeah, the flow. Just a cool dude. Super likable. Everyone wants to see him win again. Ricky Fowler, number one.
All right, I like it. T-Bone, I might throw you a curveball here for my number two pick. Okay. I'm going to go with Harold Varner III, HV3, coming in hot at number two. He is sponsored by Jordan. He is over at LIV. But do you read that article that came out a few months back around the Masters? Kind of, he was inadvertently blasting LIV, saying, like, yeah, it's a crazy time. But dude, the guy's so likable. Anytime he's in the mix, it makes me want to turn the TV on. He does great things for his community as well. Nobody has any bad things to say about HV3. So HV3 is my number two overall pick.
I think that's pretty wild. I mean, for number two pick,
Number two,
but
baby.
in your defense, I truly think he was the first guy to be like, this decision about LIV was for the money. Golf is kind of a job to me, so I did it for more money. I don't like love golf. It's a job, whatever. I respect the hell out of that. I liked him a lot when he was on tour. I love his Jordan brand, everything about him. He loves to cut grass. He's got like a nice mower. I think that's cool. So I like it. I think it's pretty wild to have a two pick, but good for you. All right. Number two, in the news right now, gotta go with our guy Tony Finau. I mean, He's the knight in shining armor. Everyone's rooting for him always. Got the family, the whole crew always with him. The full swing episode. I mean, after that episode, that just set the stage for the guy. So, I've always loved Tony. I hope he keeps winning. Want to see him win majors. The family man, you got to put him on the list. That's a good value for number two.
Nice. I like it. No, for sure. Like I said, really, he's becoming a bit more of a household name after Netflix. And then if he keeps on winning, look, if you put a major championship on his resume, game changer for him. Total game changer. All right. So for my third pick, T-Bone, I think I'm going to go Jordan Spieth. I think Jordan Spieth, he's such a likable guy, man. He took the world by storm in 2015. Already has a Hall of Fame career, in my opinion, especially like. Now that he hasn't won a major championship in a while, he still gets everybody to tune in. Everybody knows that his charity work, especially with his sister who has special needs, he invests a lot into the community. He draws people in to watch golf. He's one of the faces of golf, I would say, honestly, and just a really good down-to-earth guy. He's super likable. And now, as I mentioned, he's not winning majors as frequently as he was. Just watching him interact with Greller, dude, it's just like it's a scene. I feel like I'm watching a play. It's a live action, like drunk Shakespearean play every time. And so it is, I love it. Jordan Spieth goes for number three for me.
He might be my favorite golfer, honestly. I'm
Yeah.
not picking him because I don't know if everyone loves him. I feel like he might come across as annoying to some people, but truly, like, maybe my favorite golfer. So fun. He's awesome to watch. I like the pick.
Thank you.
All right, number three, I'm gonna stay on theme here with the full swing, just highlights some good dudes in the Netflix show. Joel Damon, man
Yeah.
of the people again. Specifically, him having to qualify for the US Open. 36 holes one day, shoots a couple over, and he's like, screw this. Drinks White Claws at lunch, qualifies, ends up finishing what, top 10?
Yep.
In some of the like final groups or something at the US Open. That was so awesome to watch. He's almost like too down on himself and too modest, but he's got a great golf game. And I mean, you want to talk about someone you can get behind. People are always rooting for Damon, and he's got a lot of reasons why. So number three, Joel Damon.
Yeah, honestly, I didn't think you were going to pick him round three. He was going to be my next pick, but it's a like it. Again, one of those guys post Netflix, he's getting a lot of fans on his side. So, all right, for number four for me. So, this is where, and I'm going to stall for a bit here, but this is where I think it gets a little tricky for me, T-Bone. And I don't know if you feel the same because I'm trying to draw the line of likable and boring. Because there are some guys who are super likable, but also it's kind of a shtick. And so it's kind of boring. But then also some people like, do they bring eyeballs to watch golf? You know what I'm saying? So that's kind of like a like Ricky Fowler, super likable, but he's a good marketing guy more than anything. So
Yep.
maybe those kind of go hand in hand here. So that's kind of what I'm trying to balance with here. So for my number four pick, T-Bone, I'm gonna just lean into it. I think I'm gonna go Matt Kuchar for number four. It's a bit of a shtick, as I mentioned, but like, you know, he's just, hey, how's it going? Like, you know, he's won some big tournaments though, won the Players' Championship, was been on Ryder Cups and President's Cup teams. And so I just think he's really likable, a genuine guy. People will give him a hard time though, because apparently he stiffs people with tipping, in particular caddies. Won't ever let that go because I think it's just absolutely hilarious. But yeah, Kuchar comes in for number four for me.
That was one of our first golf gossip segments, I believe. And
Yeah.
before that, he was the number one guy, like most likable dude ever. And that's kind of becoming to haunt him. But if you look at him, he's like the nicest dude ever. He's awesome. I love Kuchar. Still a little surprised, but I think it's a good pick.
Well, he's just not If it, that what might not have been a surprise maybe 5 years ago when he was still finishing high up on leaderboards. He just has he's not playing as well. May he just I think he's getting a little bit older too. But I mean, look, he's still on tour, so you know, props to him.
All right. All right, number four for me. I think you're letting a few slip through the cracks. I could be wrong, but I'm gonna go with your Twitter buddy, Max Homa.
Son of a bitch.
Homa's a man of the people,
Wow.
becoming better and more likable every year. I'm
Wow.
shocked he fell to the fourth round, but yeah,
Wow.
Max Homa.
Messed up. I messed up. Oh my gosh. I'm like mad at myself now. I'm mad at myself.
Yeah, not great. Not great. But I think your response says it all, so
Yeah.
home
Damn.
up for
It's
it.
a crap. All right. Well, I gotta try to save this somehow. So I think for my fifth pick, I'm gonna go with oh man, where is he? Victor Hovland. Victor Hovland, he just looks like he is stoned the entire time. Just big old smile on my face. He's Norwegian, but he does not look like he's Norwegian because he's brunette. He plays some great golf too. I got a pretty good finish at the Masters this year. One of those Oklahoma State guys. Yeah, I think he's just super likable, super easygoing, no problems with anybody. Again, looks like he's high the whole time. So, and he's a good interview. Victor Hovland is my last pick.
Like it. Pretty interesting. But he, yeah, he's a funny dude. No, I like it. I think that's, again, wasn't necessarily expecting that one. I actually wrote down five names and you didn't pick one of them, so
Really?
makes it
Dang.
easy for me.
No
All right,
kidding.
number five. So again, this one might be a little iffy just because I think we're blinded by his talent, but Rory McIlroy, number five. I mean, I just appreciate how genuine the guy, how truthful he is in interviews. He says it how it is. He's not willing to, test the, or he's not afraid to kind of test the waters. He's not the, oh, I'm just going to take it one shot at a time. He's like, I'm struggling with this, or I'm going to win this tournament, or Liv sucks ass. Like, he will tell you how it is. And it also doesn't hurt that he's one of the best players of all time. So
Yeah.
we're at number five.
I think it's a good list, T-Bone, especially getting Homa at four there, man. That was a whiff. That
Yeah.
was a whiff. But who else would be some honorable mentions?
So I want to address one that I think we might get heat for.
Uh-oh.
I don't think Tiger Woods deserves to be on this list. I think Tiger is obviously like the most, maybe one of the most likable golfers ever, but it's kind of because he's a badass assassin killer asshole, but also becoming a nicer. I don't know. I don't think he's in this list, but that's kind of where I was headed with this.
Yeah, I don't disagree. I don't disagree. Yeah, if Tiger in his prime, like, definitely would not have been on this list. Now
Yeah.
that he's, I don't know if mellowed out is the right term or just more open to making friends, honestly. Yeah, he probably could have been on this list, but yeah, I think they're, I don't know, it's just right on that line, but definitely like one or two honorable mentions. I mean, to that point, how about Phil Mickelson? I mean, before Phil defected to Liv, everybody loved Phil. Nobody really had some bad things to say about Phil, at least to my knowledge. So those are two guys that were just kind of iffy for me whenever I was thinking about it.
Happy birthday to JT, just turned 30. I
Right.
think he could definitely be on this list. I used to actually not like JT, warmed up to him a lot.
Okay.
Big fan. I
Because look,
think
we also could have
Scotty.
gone the route of your Zach Johnsons of the world or Stuart Sinks and guys who are just like good old guys, won
Webb
major
Simpson.
championships, but
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't want to necessarily go that far of nice guy.
Yeah, you needed something a little more fresh. Yeah, and I think we could do this again with like legends or back in the era of all time,
Yeah.
like you said, Arnold Palmer, Freddie Couples, Lee Trevino, Jack, all those guys.
No, for sure. How about Jon Rahm? I think Jon Rahm, people are warming up a bit more to Rahm as well. But I mean, to that point, I didn't want to pick the top 10 players in the world. Yeah, it's, so that's what I was kind of saying. I struggle with of do I want to pick guys who are relevant? But I don't know. So
Yeah, Scotty could be in the conversation for sure. Zalatoris is really likable.
I mean, even Morikawa. I mean, how hilarious was it when he won the PGA and he like the trophy broke over on him? That was hilarious. And then
That was
to,
awesome.
I think I clipped it out and posted it on shorts and on a TikTok page. But I mean, how great was it when he was picking his outfits? Like, that's likable stuff that we love to see from the players.
Yeah, for sure. I'm sure there's Shoffley could be on this list. A lot of people like him, but yeah, it's a fun one. I think there's a lot of
Oh,
guys we're gonna be missing.
how about Harry Higgs?
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Harry Higgs probably should have been on this list.
Yeah.
Dang. How funny, like that video that he posts, like he's a great social media follow. Yeah, I like Harry Higgs a lot.
Yeah, no, he's good. Anyone else we're missing?
I don't know if we missed anybody, put it in the comments below. Most likable players. Who do we miss? Let us know and then comment with who you think is the most likable player. So, T-Bone, I think that about wraps it up for this week. Unless, is there anything else that you would like to add before we close out?
No, I think this was a good episode. Maybe we can get around in this weekend. And yeah, no, I think we killed it.
Awesome. Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. We appreciate you. Before we get out of here, go follow and subscribe to our Three Under Par YouTube page and subscribe to the podcast. Again, comment below with your thoughts. Tony Finau comes out with the win. Let us know who you think wins at the Wells Fargo this week and who do we miss for our top five most likable players. Again, go listen to last week's episode with Connor Fairway. Phenomenal. Talk with Connor and go follow him as well to follow along with his golf journey. Give us 5-star subscribe, rate, and review. You know the jazz. Send us emails too if you like. I check them. It's pretty light right now, but well, look, if anybody's gonna message us, they're gonna message us on our social media platforms at 300 Par Pod. That's probably the best way to reach us, actually. So, T-Bone, any other parting thoughts?
No, that's it.
Well, thanks everybody for tuning in. We appreciate you. We'll be back next week with the Wells Fargo preview. T-Bone, we are 2 weeks away or 3 weeks away from the
Yay.
next major championship, the PGA Championship. How crazy is that?
I like it. I like it. I think we're kind of, we had our peak at the Masters. It's been valleying a little bit. And yeah, I'm ready to ramp it back up again.
It is at Oak Hill East Course. So Oak Hill Country Club in Rochester, New York. You're acting like this is some throwaway game in Rochester. Name it. Can you name that movie?
I don't know it at all.
Oh man, it's Miracle. In the first game in the Olympics, it's like
Don't
you're
know
acting like this is some throwaway game in Rochester.
Great movie.
We'll be coming to you with the PGA Championship preview here in a couple weeks. And then hopefully an interview or two coming down the pipelines. But things to stay tuned for. I think that closes us out. Thank you, T-Bone, for another great episode. I'm Scotty T, and for T-Bone. And remember,
Little White Ball's Life.